This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we've called this program for a lot of years. What, Pastor Donna?
Raising the standard.
And that's what our attempt is with all of you, that you'll understand some things that a lot of the churches don't talk about. But we know it's in the Bible and people need to understand these things. So we ask God to give you ears to hear spiritually and also prophetically.
Amen.
What you're going to hear today, you can glean from this for your benefit and to help other people as well.
Thank you, Lord.
So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And so hallelujah. And you know, you heard our intro. We do a lot with the Jewish roots and the Hebrewism. And there's so much that we've been robbed of with that. And I had a publication I got one time from a messianic ministry. And on the front page, it showed this lady. And she had her mouth open, like this. And she said, you can see it, her caption underneath it was, "We've been robbed." Well, what have we been robbed of? We've been robbed of the Jewish understanding. God gave all this to the Jewish people. And so we're grafted in. So we need to find out what God told them. And then we can grow and mature also to understand it. Because one day there will be a one new man, right, Pastor Donna? Jew and Gentile together in the kingdom of God. So I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're going to continue talking about the day of Pentecost a little bit here today. So I'm going to turn this over to my precious wife. She's got a couple of things she'd want to say, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Well, you know, even today, Pastor Gene, the one new man is being honored, and there is a one new man. The Jew and the Gentile are coming together.
Hallelujah.
And people that believe in Yeshua are coming together and believing in God's Word. See, we need to know the Word of God from the book, very beginning, the Genesis, all the way through to the end, to the book of Revelation. So,
hallelujah.
You know, the Spirit of God is what brings us the understanding and brings us to Christ. So, you know, the Jew and the Gentile are, there's a lot of Messianic congregations. I don't really like the word Messianic, but a lot
we're all Messianic, aren't we?
Well, it means Messiah.
We believe in the Messiah.
It means
Messiah.
So, but people look at it as just for the Jews.
Right.
But it's not just for the Jews, because anyone who comes to the Lord, we're all one in Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
We're all one in the Lord,
yes.
One in Yeshua. So we all believe in Yeshua, that He died and He rose again and he saved us from our wickedness, our sin. But we're going to talk about Pentecost today. But before we start there, I want to say hello, and I want to let you know that we do have our calendar out for this month. The month of May, it's going by really quickly already. So if you'd like a copy of that calendar, we would be glad to send it to you free of charge.
Hallelujah.
No charge, just
self-addressed
envelope. Yeah, send us. Yeah, we'll give you the address in a few minutes, or you can give us a phone call, and I'll give the phone number in just a minute or two. Mm-hmm. But I want to say hello to you out there, and I want to let you know that we're just blessed to be on WCNO, and we're also on the internet, so you can listen to us by way of the internet every week. Or you know, can go back and listen to what we're going to share today if you like. You just go to WCNO.com and go to Saturday, look at their program guide, and you will see Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. So that's available for anyone, and people can listen to us not just in this area. Pastor Gene, we had a prophecy once that we would cover a 50-mile radius, right? And we would say hello to Roscoe and Audrey's. They can hear us in the Bahamas. They used to listen to us by way of radio going down in their car and by the beach. But now they can listen to us by way of the internet, and you get a good, clear signal
right.
Like they were right here in the next door, amen, or down the street. So we just praise the Lord, and so people anywhere in the world, isn't that awesome, can listen to WCNO on their phone, on your device, whatever, any kind of device that you have. You can download their app and you can listen to that programming. They have wonderful music all the time. And they play a lot of Israeli music too, which makes me quite happy because we love the Israeli music. And we play some Israeli music on Saturday because we have services here in Stuart on Friday night at 7 p.m. And on Saturday, today, we'll come together at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then again on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. this coming Sunday. And I want to mention too that we're going to have an awesome couple with us this Sunday, Kevin and Teresa Tabuchi from
Japan. From Canada. He's Japanese.
He's half Japanese and half Canadian, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's just awesome family, and they minister in many, many dimensions of prophetically as one. They're very much into the prophetic and into the prayer rooms and worship leaders. And you know, it's interesting, we got the same things that they are doing, as much of what Gary Brooks told us about worship, you know, to worship. And you know, worship brings brings the voice of the Lord, it brings the prophetic word, and it's that's why we have on our pulpit, it says worship God. And who we do worship? The Bible says worship God. Mm-hmm. For the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And that comes out of Revelation 19:10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
But on our calendar, I didn't give the phone number, did I? No. Let me do that before we get going.
Okay.
The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And if you'd like that calendar, you can just mail a self-addressed envelope to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995. Amen.
And we'll mail it out to you.
We'd be glad to mail it out to you. It also has the Hebrew dates on it, and it has the counting the Omer on it, and there's some Jewish words on here you could learn, and the meanings of them. And so, you know, we want to learn a little bit of Hebrew. We can learn a little bit of Hebrew, and it's a very interesting language. You know, the devil tried to destroy that language.
Yep.
And just try to destroy all the Jews as well, and all of those who from Israel, they were dispersed throughout the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And but God is bringing many of them back to the land of Israel, and we see what's happening in Israel, and we see it's flourishing, and crops and just flourishing everywhere. Everything,
right.
Every industry, everything is flourishing, you know. I can't say that for you. Can't we can't say that for all the nations, but because that was a nation that the plan was to destroy it. But God has a plan, and God always has had a plan. And so God has a plan for that nation, and that's where everything began, is in that land. So it's really about the land, but there's certain people that God put in the land to guard it and to protect it and to, you know, to be there.
That's right.
Amen. And the Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives.
Right where he left.
He's coming back to the same place he left, and
that's
he's
right.
going to go through that eastern gate. And that's been blocked up for how many years now?
A lot of
Pastor
years,
Gene?
Boy, a lot of years.
Many years. And so he's going to go through that eastern gate.
Several hundred years.
He's going to fulfill every single prophecy that has been spoken about him.
Hallelujah.
And so to understand prophecy and to understand end times, we got to go back to the beginning.
That's right.
And Pastor Gene talks about that all the time. We're not going to know the end from the end. You can't go to the back of the book and find out the end of the book. You got to find out how it started. So we're going to know the end from knowing the beginning. So we got to go back and got to find out some of our roots. You know, I hate to use the word Jewish roots because it's really just
God's roots.
That's right. It's the way God had planned everything in the beginning.
But he gave it to the Jews, didn't he?
In the beginning, he said, even there in chapter Genesis 1:1, he says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters."
Yes.
"And God said, let there be light. And there was light." He started right then there. Then, you know, the first morning and the first night. And he called it day and night. And he just, he planned everything. And so this book that you have in front of you is the book that you wrote on the pictures of the Messiah. And it has all the feasts of the Lord. And we're going to talk about one of them today. We're going to talk about the Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot. Did I pronounce that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that comes up 50 days after Passover. So the counting of the Omer starts at the end Passover, and so it goes all the way up to 50 days. And so that 50th day will be on Sivan 6, which is May 31st
on our calendar
of this month. So you said that it begins over here in Exodus chapter 19.
The day after the weekly Sabbath.
Day after the weekly Sabbath. That's right. And that's a good thing to explain too, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
It says in the third month, and that third month is the month of Sivan. The children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So this tells us what month.
That's right.
The third month is the month of Sivan.
In fact, that very first verse you read there in chapter 19 in the Exodus, it tells you that it was mm-hmm. in the third month, which is the month of Sivan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was going to share this. We're offering to give the calendar we have. If you'd like to get a, we have a chart also showing the solar calendar and also the lunar calendar. But we call it a prophetic calendar and what? And the worldly calendar that we're on the one that revolves around the sun and all. Well, we have all those dates shown, months revealed on this chart, and you can look at that and you compare what it is and what time of the year it is. So you can have some greater understanding of that. It's very important to understand that. But back to 19 chapter 1. In the third month, this is the month of Sivan, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Israel, the same day. The same day means it was the third month, the third day.
That's right.
Came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. And then we're going to go on with this. And this was on the third day when they did this. And so we see all the instructions that God gave them. But I was thinking before we start, a lot of things we have a misnomer
so
in the church.
So we're in right now, we're in the second month.
That's right.
Because the first month was the month of Nisan. That was the month of Passover,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so then the second month is the month of Iyar, which is we're in right now.
Right.
And the third month will be the month
of Sivan,
which will begin on Sivan 1, which is always a new moon. A Hebrew calendar always begins on a new moon.
On a new moon, right.
So the new moon is going to be, which would be around the 25th of May, or it would be actually the 44th day of the counting of the Omer. And then the first day of Sivan would be on Friday, on Sabbath, which would be the 26th of May. So their calendar and our calendar, I have put the calendars together. In other words, on the calendar of the month of May, I have these two calendars
superimposed
on them. So you can see, if we were just doing a Jewish calendar, we would start the new moon would be the first day, and we would go to the 15th, and the 15th would be the full moon,
right?
Which Yeshua died on died on the full moon. And then the last day of the month, at the end of the month, like if you would see it on a normal calendar, would be the 30th day, because there's 30 days and 12 months on a lunar or a moon, using the moon on the calendar. So right now we're just really only not even three months into the new year.
That's right. So I was thinking about what you're talking. We have this kind of a misnomer about between Israel, which is the Jewish people
mm-hmm.
and the Gentiles, and with our calendars and on that chart, it's available for you, it shows the civil calendar and the prophetic calendar. Well, to me, the civil calendar was the calendar they were on from Genesis 1:1 you just talked about, all the way to Exodus 12 when God changed the number on the month. And then that's when the prophetic calendar started. So we're going to talk about it. This is in the prophetic calendar.
We're going to be talking about the prophetic calendar.
That's right.
So because the Jewish people, and somebody might be confused by what I just said, if they know the Tishri is when they have their new year.
That's right.
Well,
because
that's a civil calendar.
Right.
But we're talking about a prophetic calendar or a spiritual calendar. So there's actually two types of calendars. One is for the planting crops. That would be the civil calendar.
And when they coronated kings and all that.
Right, coronated kings. But God's feasts are all according to the
lunar calendar.
The lunar calendar and
that's
the prophetic calendar.
That's right. So a lot of people get confused, and so the first thing I have in my book, if you buy it, we talk about the calendar, because if you don't understand the calendar, you're going to be missing out on a lot of things that God wants mm-hmm. us to know. But I was thinking about this way, we're talking, there are so many misnomers today. You look at the book of Revelation. We got people teaching out of that. And if they only knew what God put in place through the Jewish people, we wouldn't have all this discussion and error that we have. Remember, the first three chapters of the book of Revelation is talking about the church all down through the age from the time that John was there. John saw all this with all the spirits that would be in the churches during that time. Then when you go to chapter 4, verse 1, it shows you right there the resurrection is going to come. Okay.
The resurrection of who?
Of all the believers.
Believers. Right?
The believers will be there. And so then we go from chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to the end, and it's not talking about Gentiles. You don't hear one thing mentioned about the church. It's all about the Jewish people, all right, and what God's going to do with them. That 7 years of Jacob's trouble is to draw them to the Messiah
He's
that they rejected.
Deal with them. That's why it's called Jacob.
Jacob's trouble.
And who
is
Jacob? Jacob's name was changed to
Israel.
So Jacob is Israel.
So if you go from chapter 4 to the end, God's talking to Israel what he's going to do to bring them to that place. And so what's the book of Revelation revealing after you get past the first three chapters? Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. That's what's totally being revealed. It's about the Jewish people. But we need to, we need to assimilate into that with ourselves and to understand what God gave to the Jewish people. We are part of that because we're grafted into them. We won't go through the Jacob's trouble, but we can understand what they're going to go through. And there's a lot of them today that are coming, won't have to go through that time. But a lot of them will not, you know, come to the Messiah. And so they're going to go through that trouble time if they're alive at that time. So we got to keep those things in mind when we study the Word of God.
And, you know, a true Jew is one who believes in the Son of God.
That's right.
And that's what makes us one. What talks about mm-hmm. we be one in Yeshua and the Messiah. So a true Jew is one who believes in Messiah and comes from Judah.
That's right. Now we read last week over in Leviticus chapter 23 about the day of Pentecost, and it didn't give us a whole lot, but enough. It talked about these two loaves of bread, okay, and they had leaven in them, okay. And I believe with all my heart that one's a picture of the nation of Israel, and also the other is for the Gentiles. And you know what? It has leaven in it. If you look at the picture of all this, it's showing what? There's a false and corrupt portion of the church in Israel. It's here even today. We know that. And even as the two parables of the wheat and the tares and the leaven are hidden truths of the corrupt church, even so we see this today. And so Pentecost is revealing that when they're gonna, when they come, it's gonna, this bread they're gonna make from the barley, or not the barley, from the wheat that they're slowly collecting during the counting of the Omer. It's showing us that there's going to be two loaves made at the end of that, at the 50-day point, that will have leaven in it. So we got to keep those things in mind. And so there's so much. You know, I read this from my book. I was looking at this. There's a rabbi named Joseph Hertz, and he had an authorized daily prayer book on page 791. He states this. He says, the revelation at Mount Sinai, it was taught, was given in the desert territory, which belongs to no one nation. It was out of the boondocks, out in the desert. Exclusively, was not given to any one nation, and it was heard not by Israel alone, but by the inhabitants of all the earth. The divine voice divided itself into the 70 tongues when God spoke at Mount Sinai, then spoken 70 tongues, then spoken on the earth, so that all the children of men might understand its world-embracing and man-redeeming message that God brought. And so, also in the Jewish Midrash, under the section called Exodus Rabbah 5:9, it states this, when God gave the Torah on Sinai, he displayed untold marvels to Israel with his voice. What happened? God spoke, and the voice reverberated throughout the world. It says, and all the people witnessed the thunderings, Exodus 20, verse 18. Note here that it does not say the thunder, or singular, but the thunderings, plural. Wherefore, Rabbi Johanan said that God's voice, as it was uttered, split into 70 voices in the 70 languages, so that all the nations should understand. When each nation heard the voice in their own vernacular, their souls departed, it says, and they were in fear, save Israel, who heard, but who were not hurt. And so he asked them to listen. But what happened? They didn't listen, did they? They said they would keep everything that God put in place, but they failed God. So here's another comment out of my book. Further writings from the Midrash states this. On the occasion of giving of the Torah, the children of Israel not only heard the Lord's voice, but actually saw the sound waves as they emerged from the Lord's mouth. They visualized or described them as a fiery substance. Each commandment that left the Lord's mouth traveled around the entire camp and then came back to every Jew individually, asking him, do you accept upon yourself the commandment with all the Jewish law pertaining to it? Every Jew answered yes. After each commandment, Finally, the fiery substance that they saw engraved itself on the tablets of stone. And we can read that over in Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about hallelujah. So you might be asking yourself at this particular time, what is the Midrash? Well, it's a collection of works compiled between the 3rd and 12th centuries that seeks out underlining truths and meanings of the Bible, the result of the process of delving into the ramifications of a biblical verse and of the ancient rabbis, looking for a hidden meaning, in other words. In Judaism, there's 4 methods of biblical interpretation. The first one's called a peshat. This means the plain sense of the message. The next one's called a remez, a hidden meaning. And a drash is the 3rd one. A story is being told to bring a truth back to reality. And the last one's called a sod. It's a mystery. So we have all this with this time called Pentecost and what God wants us to know. So this is important, these 50 days. We have another 50 days we've talked about in the past. What happens on the 50th year at the Day of Atonement? It's called Jubilee. It's another 50. So this was the beginning of all this. And so we just read a little bit here in chapter 19. But let's go on and read a little bit more here, Pastor Donna. We know that they came to Mount Sinai. Remember, they left Egypt on Nisan 15. And they traveled 47 days, and they got to the foot of Mount Sinai. And then God told them, we won't read all this. I'm going to go over here. Where do I want to go here? Verse 7 of chapter 19. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 10, Go unto the people and sanctify them. Set them apart, in other words, today and tomorrow, and to let them wash their clothes. They had to be purified and be ready against the 3rd day. Hallelujah. I love this, the 3rd day. You know, Jesus came at the end of 4,000 years. So that means there's going to be 2 more days. Will be the 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. Another at 2,000 years, it's just about up. And then we have the 7th day, which is what? The millennial kingdom. So here's a pattern teaching in this as well. To be ready against the 3rd day, for the 3rd day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounded long, this is a shofar, they shall come up to the mount. Who do you think blew the shofar? It doesn't tell you any man here. It's God. God's blowing this shofar. And in verse 14, And Moses went down from the mount into the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready against the 3rd day. Come not at your wives. They were to stay away from their wives even for 3 days. And it came to pass on the 3rd day in the morning. This was one of what? Sivan 6, early in the morning. Remember, they came out of the Red Sea early in the morning in the first watch. There were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet, which is God's voice, exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood in the nether part of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked. It was an earthquake greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, and we see all that happened there. So this was the starting of something very special that God put in place called the Feast of Pentecost. And we know with the 2 loaves and all, it was incredible. So here we're counting the Omer right now to get enough grain at the end of the 50 days to make these 2 loaves, right, Pastor Donna? So now we need to relate it with the New Testament, don't we, honey?
Amen. Amen.
So it's interesting, when we look at all this, we see that there was, the Jewish rabbis believe there were 7 individual nations in the world at the time that God spoke from Mount Sinai. So he gave all the people in the world an opportunity to receive his vision and his purpose and what he was going to do. But only the Jews said, I do. And what happened? They weren't able to do it either. So anyway, from this point on, we go like 1,500 years to the future, don't we, Pastor Don? And we come over to the book of Acts. So if you're at home, you got a Bible, let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 2. And we've talked about this before, but this is a very important message. And a lot of the churches think that was a one-time event and it was never going to happen again, that people could speak in tongues or a language that they don't know. But we know that the Bible shows that we can. And if people try to tell me that, I say, well, you're too late. I've already got it. I've already got it. You're too late.
Well, so just read too that, you know, the voices. There were voices.
There were voices.
And
that's right.
For all the nations. And you know, that shows me that God wants to speak to all the nations. All the people to come.
That's
to
right.
Him, and he wants to deliver us because
that's
Yeshua
right.
is our deliverer.
You got it. So we go over now to chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and we'll see what God wants to show us with all this. And there's a lot of parallels in Acts chapter 2 with what happened at Mount Sinai. So I might open up my book and read a couple things out of that for your benefit as well. But let's read. I want to read the first four verses mm-hmm. in Acts chapter 2. These are the most important ones, okay? And it says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the translation really says when the day of Pentecost was being fully fulfilled, they were all with one accord in one place. Who were there? About 120 people, right, in that upper room, including the mother of Jesus. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They saw fire on their shoulders or on their head. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, these tongues were actually ethnic languages in the world, like we found out about over in Exodus chapter 19. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Remember, all the Jewish people, no matter where they were in the world, they had to plan ahead and travel to Jerusalem to be there for Pentecost. This is one of the high Sabbaths that we talked about in the past. They had to be there. So they were men from all over the world. Now, that were Jews. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were troubled in their mind, weren't they? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They might have been from way up in the north of Mesopotamia, and they spoke in their languages that they didn't know. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Hallelujah. So remember, this is not an unknown tongue, right? These were ethnic languages. So look who all was there. The Parthians, the Jews that came from the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Well, the proselytes were those Jews or Gentiles that converted to Judaism. Then we have Cretes and the Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They were wondering, what's going on? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These two verses, 12 and 13, we have it going on even today. People are still mocking this, think it's not real, that God's done away with that, but he has not. As I said before, you're too late. I've already got it. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter then, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. The third hour is what? 9 in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes back to Joel chapter 2.
Amen.
And quotes the verses over there. Amen. This is that. This is what we need in the church today. So at this time, in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost was truly being fulfilled that God put in place way back. And the pattern was what? At Mount Sinai. Now, we have a lot of parallels here, Pastor Donna.
Thank you, Lord. I opened up
my book to show you the parallels. It is no accident that God chose this festival, what? Pentecost, connected with the giving of the Torah to send the Holy Ghost to empower each believer. Just as the Torah teaches what? God's truth. Isn't it truth? It certainly is. And most of the church doesn't want that today, but it is God's truth. So the Holy Ghost teaches God's truth. It says in John 14:26, John 15:26, and also in John 16:13. We must understand that Yeshua's Torah, or his word, is not different from or an improvement over God's Torah in the Hebrew Scriptures. The Apostle Paul called it holy, just, and good in Romans 7:12. What is the difference? What is different is the receptiveness of those for whom the Torah is meant, due to having a new spirit and a heart of flesh, as it says in Ezekiel 36:26, on which the Torah is written. It tells us that in Jeremiah 31:32-33. Remember, it's written on their heart, on our hearts.
That's right.
A heart receptive in the Holy Ghost, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Therefore, the Holy Ghost in a believer's life makes the Torah even more real to them, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:6-18. And the giving of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost only heightens, hear this, it only heightens the significance of the giving of the Torah at Pentecost or Shavuot. Mm-hmm. The Torah of Yeshua has a higher standard than Moses' Torah because of all the circumcision of the heart. It's all about the circumcision of the heart. It shines its light on the motive of the heart. It's incredible when we think about it. Now look at these parallels with Pentecost in Exodus 19. At both Sinai and Pentecost, the Torah was delivered to God's people. At Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone by the finger of God, and it shows that in Exodus 31:18. While at Pentecost, the Torah was written, this is in the New Testament, was written on the tablets of our heart, 2 Corinthians 3:6-18, in fulfillment of the prophecies, as we just mentioned, of Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36:26. Far from replacing, canceling, or contradicting the Torah of Moses, the Holy Ghost confirms it for the believers in Yeshua's day, Romans 3:31. Both events took place at Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. Amen. Both were accompanied by theophanies. What's a theophany? Any direct visual manifestation of the presence of God. They saw things. Both were accompanied by many languages or voices or tongues. Both were accompanied by fire. The fire at Sinai was one fire, visible by all. The fire at Jerusalem divided itself and rested on each and every individual that was there. Thus, at Sinai, the Torah was given externally to the people as a whole, while at Jerusalem, at Pentecost, the Torah was put within each individual believer. At Sinai, a mixed multitude, Exodus 12:38, accompanied the people, just as people from many countries were present at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Torah means teaching, and the Holy Ghost is the teacher. It is customary in the Jewish celebration of Pentecost to eat milk foods. The Holy Ghost provides the milk of the Word, as it says in 1 Peter 3:2. So these are all the parallels to show us this. And so what happened over here in Acts 2? We have all these nations, just like what happened in Exodus chapter 19. And they all heard these people that they knew that didn't, the Jews and from Galilee didn't know the languages from these other people, but the people that came from these other nations heard these people, the Galileans, speaking in their own language. So, I mean, no wonder they said they were confused and all, but they should have never mocked it. And so what did God do here? Think about it. And this is the key thing.
Well, you know, it also shows, Pastor Gene, before you share that, it also shows the importance of Pentecost.
That's right.
Because God had all the people come to Israel, to Jerusalem, on that time, during that time. And God had all the people, just like he had all the people around the mountain at that time when he spoke with voices. He also had all the people come at that time at Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
because it's the time when God speaks.
That's right.
Because it's God's voice speaking to the people. And so there at Pentecost, there in Jerusalem, there were people from all different places and all
That's
different
right.
languages.
That's what it says right here.
But they knew to come to Jerusalem. They were to come to Jerusalem. And so at that time, then it says what? But wait for the promise of the Father. Ye have heard of me. So we're talking about this, the Holy Ghost coming.
That's right.
And that they were going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. They hadn't as of yet.
They didn't know even what it was to start right at that point in time, did they?
They didn't know. They knew about Pentecost.
Yeah.
They knew about Shavuot because they had been doing that since Exodus. So for hundreds of years.
1,500 years or so.
They had been practicing. And they knew about Pentecost. They knew about Shavuot, which is what they call Shavuot, which is the giving of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit spoke in voices back there in Exodus, but you know, even throughout the whole Bible, you think about, I'm thinking about when they also went through the Jordan River,
uh-huh.
and the Jordan River divided just like the Red Sea, you know, and they came up, and it was at around the same time, the beginning of the year, the beginning of this, you know, Nisan and the first couple months of this time. That God did so many awesome things, and He always does awesome things during this time. And so these people here in the book of Acts, these 120 people or so, plus women, right?
Yeah,
you said women were there. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. They knew it was a special appointed time of the Lord.
That's right.
And they knew that Jesus had told them to wait and to tarry and to be in Jerusalem. That's where they were supposed to be. They all knew it was Pentecost. They all knew something was going to happen. They just didn't know what.
What it was. That's right.
Until they experienced it.
Right.
And so people who ask you about the Holy Ghost, they say, what is it? Well, you know, it's very hard to reason or to explain to somebody what it's like until you get it.
That's right.
Once you have it, then you have it. You know you have it. And no one can talk you out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it says here, John truly baptized with water. That's
sure.
John baptized in water, right? And many other people baptized in water. It's a picture of cleansing. But he says, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost
not many days from now.
Hence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So it's an important thing. And, you know, the church
Very
takes
important.
It kind of lightly. I don't understand why they do.
It's power.
But
it's the power of God.
It's necessary. But here's the key reason for all this. It tells you in Acts chapter 2 there, in verse 12, it says, these people that came from these different parts of the world heard them speaking in their language. It says, we do hear them speak our tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were what were they doing? They were exalting and magnifying God
were
with the tongue.
Were you reading that?
Verse 12 of Acts chapter 2.
Verse 12 of
they
Acts 2
were all amazed
says, and
they
were
all
doubt, amazed.
Saying one to another, what meaneth this? And then verse 11 before this says that they all were together. They hear them speak in our tongues. These are the people from these other nations, the wonderful works of God. So it brings unity together. Amen?
So these people, Peter and some of them, they heard them all speak. They were all speaking in tongues. All of these that were in the upper room. They didn't, some of them just get the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
They all got it.
Mary got it.
Yeah, Mary, the mother of Jesus
Mary
got it.
Mary got it. And I want to go back over here in the church in Acts chapter 1. It says, when they therefore were come together, see, they were all together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, they were looking for a kingdom to be restored. That wasn't what God, Jesus was doing.
He was going to restore a kingdom in themselves.
In their hearts.
In their hearts.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. This is the key. You are going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So they hadn't received the Holy Ghost as of yet.
But they were born again,
and
weren't they?
They were born again. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So they received the power. They had to receive the power to be able to fulfill the call upon their life. And we need the power of God. We still
sure
need
do.
The power of God. See, the book of Acts didn't stop at the end of the chapter. The book of Acts should be continuing to go on and on. And we need to read about when it says over here that they received that, you know.
Like even Peter quoted out of Joel chapter 2 over there. Well, that was spoken hundreds and hundreds of years before. And so he was saying it right here in the day that he spoke it. It was active. Well, it's still active today.
That's right. And he said, actually, I was just looking at that in Acts chapter 2. Talks about in the prophet Joel in verse 16. And he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit, that's capital spirit, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
That's right.
So our sons and our daughters, we can prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
That's right.
So we're talking about prophecy comes from the Holy Ghost, from the power of God.
So how can we prophesy if we don't have the Holy Ghost, right?
And that's the voice of God speaking through his people, meaning those who have asked Jesus to come into their heart.
So here's the beauty of this. The key with all this, I believe, when I wrote the book and shared a lot with the people and all, is God literally spoke himself at Mount Sinai.
Yes.
And the people trembled. They didn't want to hear from God anymore. They didn't want to hear. They were just afraid. Well, in Acts chapter 2 here, what happened? God poured out his spirit on people, and they spoke in a language that they didn't know, which would happen to be at this time. These were ethnic languages, but later on we have things called the unknown tongue that we have also. And so what was the purpose of all? We just read that. They were showing one another the wonderful works of God by speaking in that heavenly language. But here's the key thing. God spoke at Mount Sinai, literally himself, and they heard, and fear came. In this chapter, God poured out his spirit on all the believers that were there, and he gave them the privilege and the power with the Holy Ghost at that time to speak on his behalf. And we got most of the church today thinking that nobody can speak on behalf of God. That's what's prophecy. We have to learn how to hear from the voice of God, and then we can say things and do things that will be according to the Spirit of God, can stir, activate, and impart people, and even give them a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom about their life. It's so powerful. And we got most of the church that totally ignores it. And so this is so key about this time. And so, look.
And it's a holy gift.
Thing.
And it's
right.
A gift.
That's right. It's a gift.
It's a gift. You know, God gives gifts.
You ask.
You ask and you receive it. The Bible says that. You have not because you ask not. You ask and you believe, you have faith, and you receive it. How did you get saved?
That's
you
right.
Ask God to forgive you your sins. You ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Are you sure you're saved?
And, yeah. Are you sure you're saved? Right. Well, you know, you should know that you're saved.
That's right.
And then, you know, you get water baptized, and then you want more. You want more. You get into the Word of God, and you find out about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you want that. Well, you know, I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost for when I was saved. First, I was never taught about it or told about it or anything about it. But, you know, it's something that we should want. We should have
a desire,
you know. There was a man who wanted it really bad, but he wanted it in the wrong way. And
that's right.
Also in the book of Acts in chapter 8, actually. It says, I'm just going to go over there because, you know, it's a holy thing. The Holy Ghost is holy. It's the gifts, the Godhead, you know, all these gifts. And we might want to go over and look at some of the gifts, Pastor Gene, in Corinthians. But all these gifts that God gives comes from the Holy Ghost. Comes from the Holy Ghost. And it's a gift. And it's mentioned many times that it is a gift. Well, over here in Acts chapter 8, there was a man that followed them. Let's see where it would be good to start at. I don't want to read a whole lot of it. He was looking for power.
That's right. He was actually a witch,
working in sorcery and witchcraft, you know. And he listened to them. He heard about Jesus, right? So he wanted this power. And I'm just trying to see where it would be good to. I'm going to read all this. 13 says, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered at beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Then when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that that Samaritan had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, meaning the Holy Ghost, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on him, and they received the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So they received the power of the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
That's right.
He wanted to
can't
purchase the
right.
Holy Ghost. You can't purchase. He wanted
can't
to purchase
it.
The power of God.
That's right.
He said, give me also this power. That's what he wanted. That on whosoever I lay my hands, he wanted to lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
That's right.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right. Wow. In the sight of God. Then he tells him, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. See, the thought, it says the thought of his heart.
Yeah.
He didn't have a true heart. He didn't have a heart after God. Then he says, for I perceive So this is, now he's getting a word of wisdom or knowledge. He says, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." He was perceiving what he knew what his heart was, how his heart was, and in the bond of iniquity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was misused. That's why he wanted to use it for.
You can't misuse it. He wanted to misuse it.
That's right.
For you know, all the glory goes to the Lord. It's
Amen.
Not what God gives us all gifts, but everything is to be given back to Him, because it's the gift of God. Amen.
So anyway, we have a big percentage of the church that doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
and they'll tell you that they don't believe in it. Well, that means they don't believe in God's Word, because we don't see mm-hmm. anywhere where it says it's been discontinued. So they don't believe in God's Word. And the other reason they don't have it is because they've been taught that it's not for today, or they have never asked to receive. Jesus is asking, you shall receive. And that's what we have to learn how to do. And it's a simple thing, really. You know, you don't have to fully understand everything. That man that Donald talked about that got born again, as soon as he got born again, he began to speak in tongues. Well, where did that come from? It was from the Spirit of God. Empowered him to go out and do the work of the Lord with the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you read closely in over there in Luke chapter 24, Jesus told them that to go to Jerusalem and tarry, and he says, I'm going to empower you, and I'm going to give you a power from on high. I'm going to endue you with power from on high. So it shows that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was subsequent to being born again. You have to be born again first and then receive that. And people say, well, I'm born again, so I got it all. No, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Now, it's wonderful, wouldn't it, if everybody came and accepted Christ in that moment,
you get born again, the Spirit of God comes in you, but you haven't received the gift.
That's right, the gift.
Because those men were born again, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. I'm going to look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God
yes.
calleth Jesus a curse,
yeah.
and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So we're reading now the King James Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are diversities of gifts. Now he's saying there's different kinds of
gifts. Yeah.
But the same Spirit, that's capital S, the same Spirit. They all come from the Spirit of God. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, of capital S, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one, now he's going to mention these gifts, okay? One of them is a spirit of the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So we can see he wanted to lay hands on people, didn't he? To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning spirits. We certainly do need to have to be able to discern the spirits that are going on in this world today.
Sure do.
To another, diverse kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self, Spirit, meaning God, dividing to every man severally as he wills, as God will, as he will, as God will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also, so also is Christ.
That's right.
Awesome. It's for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. There's your one new man, Jew and Gentiles.
Right.
Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now, I just want to look at one other verse here, because that just mentioned Jew and Gentile, and I just thought about this here, about the Jew. And over here in Romans chapter 2, the last 28 and 29, it says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly.
Right.
We're talking about circumcision of the flesh, right? Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Now, see, the King James always explains it, has
That's
a definition. Now, but 29 tells you who a Jew is. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly.
There you go.
And circumcision is that of the
heart. Right.
In the Spirit.
Not in the flesh, yes.
In the Spirit. And not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So that's what right. is a Jew? One inwardly.
Inwardly.
One of the heart.
That's it.
So if we're born again, we're grafted in, and we are spiritual Jews.
Yeah, but it's a shame we've had all this teaching for years and years about the Holy Ghost is not for today. It's incredible. You know, God doesn't give us something, then take it away. And that's the opinion that we have from a lot of these denominations mm-hmm. and all that. And God's just not doing that anymore. But he is. And think about it. If these men would not got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the 12 apostles
that's
that went
right.
out, they probably would have quit. Look at all the things that they did that was contrary to what Jesus wanted while they walked with him literally on the earth. The things that Peter said and he did and all. But look what Peter did after the baptism of the Holy Ghost came.
That's when the power.
Yeah, that's when he spoke up on the day of Pentecost and spoke that incredible message. And the Jews said, what must we do to be saved? All right? It was because of the power of God that was resting on his life. And so he told, I'm going to read this.
He was
now.
Anointed with power.
Yeah, I'm going to read this also. We're still in chapter 2. Mm-hmm. I want to go over verse 37. After Peter preached, he says, now when they heard this, the preaching of the gospel, okay, and about the Holy Ghost, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift, of the Holy Ghost. And that's not being born again. That means the gift, the holy baptism. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We're part of that. We're far off from that day, aren't we? And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from the untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So these were the first fruits of the baptism of the Holy Ghost when it came. Amen. They were the results of it. So without that power, those men could have never went out and did the work that they did at that particular time. And so I have people telling me, well, that was way back then, Pastor T. No, it's still active today. And so this didn't come just for one particular season in history and then it was done away with. It doesn't say in the Bible anywhere that God did away with it. Even Isaiah spoke a word about the stammering tongues and all from another nation and all. It was another language that was going to speak and all that. And so God was showing this. And I've given this example before. I believe with all my heart, the first tongue and interpretation was in the book of Daniel. Remember when that night when Belshazzar was brought all the cups in for the temple that they took when they conquered Israel and they were having a big party?
God wrote on the wall.
And God wrote, there was a finger came out and wrote on the wall, okay? And it was the gist of the word was, you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found lacking. As he said, your kingdom's coming down. It came down that night. No one could interpret what was written on that board or on the wall, not a board, on the wall. And so, you know, Belshazzar called all his statesmen and all his soothsayers and all those, and they could not interpret that. So he remembered about Daniel. He brought Daniel in. So what happened? The word of God came on that wall, and then Daniel, the man of God, interpreted what was being said on that wall and told them that your kingdom's coming down because you've been weighing the balance and lacking. That was the first, I believe, the first tongue interpretation in the Bible.
Awesome.
It's incredible.
Awesome.
And so why would the church think so lightly of this? And this is the season to talk about this. It's not just about tongues, it's what it does. It's the power that's behind it. You know, tongues is one thing. But you know, you could have tongues, and if you're not walking with the Lord,
have no power
if you're not walking with the Lord, allowing Him to work through you, you won't have any power. But you have to follow after Him totally. Those men that got baptized in that upper room, those 120, and the women as well, they received power from on high, and they were never, never the same again. They were never thought the same way. Read if you got a Bible, a Thompson chain, it tells you in the back about all the disciples, where history shows where they all went to minister. And how they all died. Some of them died terrible deaths except for John. And so
had pretty bad time.
That's
too.
Right. They put him in oil and tried to boil him in history, and he couldn't. And so the Roman emperor took him out, and he went back to Ephesus and served there for quite a while. But we just see this. The power that they received gave them the ability and the strength to go through no matter what it was. Being flayed, sawed asunder, hung on a cross, no matter what it was, it gave them the power. And they never, 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 never thought one moment about denying Jesus Christ as their Savior.
That's right.
That was the power. And that's what we need today. How many people in America claim to be Christians if things really came down and the church was really persecuted? And if all we had to do was deny Jesus Christ and do something else, you know how many Christians would probably do that? A lot to save their what? Their neck. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. If they receive the mark of the beast, what? They're lost. They have no chance.
They're lost.
And so we got to remember that. So we need the power. The church needs the power. This is what this is all about. And so thank God for Acts chapter 2 and what happened on that particular day. And it was a fulfillment of what happened over in Exodus chapter 19.
And so, you know, this was the time, this was happened before Paul received the baptism of the
Holy
Spirit, before Paul was even saved. That would be another thing that we could perhaps talk about next week, would be about Paul's experience with the Lord and with the Holy Ghost and how it changed his life. You know, it changed him totally. And he spent so much time, and he's the one who says that he spoke in tongues
more than us all.
More than anyone. Yeah. And he's the one who gives so much understanding about tongues in Corinthians.
Yeah.
And talking about how important it is that we pray in tongues, and that we sing in tongues, and that we sing in the Spirit, and we sing in the understanding. You know, it brings us close to the Lord, and we begin to hear the voice of the Lord. And then when we hear the voice of the Lord, we speak the voice of the Lord, and
we hear,
prophesy.
Right? That's right.
Amen. The Bible says that, you know, not everyone's a prophet.
That's right.
But we can all hear the voice of God, and we can
all prophesy one by one.
Isn't
that's
really awesome.
So God, the experience he had, God had to knock him to the ground to get his attention.
That's right. See, and yeah, we'll talk about him next week, because he really went through. He thought he was something. He thought he was doing a work for God, but when he was killing Christians. He thought he was doing the right thing.
Pharisee of Pharisees, he called himself.
Until he had an experience.
Yeah, that's right.
But he said over here, I'm just going to read one verse, follow after charity, which is love.
Yes.
But then he also says, desire spiritual gifts or spiritual things. But then he says, but rather that ye may prophesy. So it's important that we hear from the Lord so we can prophesy. And he goes on and says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
God, that's right.
Amen. So we want to speak to God when we speak in the Holy Ghost, and we're speaking the mysteries. We're speaking the mysteries of God.
We're talking to Almighty God, not some man.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing. We want to bless you all, and we thank the Lord for you. Rest in the Lord today. And our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. If you'd like a copy of our calendar for this month, or if you'd like to speak to us, we have services on Friday today, meeting today at 4:00, and also we meet tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And so we just want to bless you guys in Yeshua's name.
Amen. So I just say this as we close. If there's someone listening that doesn't believe in tongues because you've been told it and all that, I challenge you to get alone with the Lord in your Bible and read and ask him to show you whether this is a real thing or not. And I believe with all my heart he's going to show you that. And as you do, as you walk into that realm, you're going to find out that your life is going to change, because there's going to be power within you that you didn't have before that you need. And so we thank you for that. So as we close this program every week, we tell you we love you. We're on this program because we want to see people raised to a new level in the realm of the Spirit. As we close, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.